Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be, that you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of, that you deserve the existence you have been given or it would not have been granted to you, that you deserve all the love you can imagine because love is what you are made out of, that you deserve all the light you can create in your life because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to Revolutionary Life tonight. Revolutionary Life. And I'm Gary, your host for this show. And tonight's show is called How Do You Know? a simple question, but I planned on asking you that all night tonight because I want to make sure you know what you know. And maybe you do too, I don't know. But by this time, by the time this is over with, you might question how you know what you know. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from Monday through Friday, every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, and we deal with a lot of subjects here. If you're new here, if you're new listening, Revolutionary Life is all about it's about every aspect of life that affects us every day. It's about taking on subjects that affect us every day and our lives. But it's about looking at them from a revolutionary point of view. And don't let that bother you because revolution ain't nothing but change. And there's a lot of things out there that need changing. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight is our own selves. I've had some interesting conversations about the existence of reality, what I think I know, and what I must admit that I don't know. After several of those conversations, it made me doubt some things. I want to see how you feel about this. We all use the term "I know." Some of us might be asked, how do you know? You're saying you know. I know. Oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. Oh, I'm aware of that. I know that. Let me ask you, how you know? Usually when you ask somebody that question, how do they know something? They swear they know. I declare they know. Their usual, in general, the response is they've experienced it. They've applied one of their senses, their five or six, whatever, senses to it, to the situation. That's how they know. In other words, I've seen it. That's how I know. I heard it. I know because I was there. I know because I saw it. I heard it. I smelt it. I felt it. You know, one of those senses. My ears picked it up. My eyes picked it up. One of your God-given senses is usually in that response. So how do you know? I know because I heard. I know because I saw it. If that's a definition, if that's an explanation, and then, you know, there are those who feel that they know things, but they actually just believe them. Because if that's a definite, if you have to experience something to be qualified to say, I know that. And if you read it in a book, or somebody told you, somebody you trust told you, you believe it. But if the definition of I know, and this is how I know, is that you experienced it, you saw it, you heard it, you felt it, you touched it, then you have to admit that if that's the groundwork we're working with, that's the framework we're coming from, if that's the definition we use for knowing anything, then we have to qualify those areas where we know things that we did not personally experience. That's first of all. Let's start there. Oh, I know this because I read it in a book by a reputable scientist, writer, historian, or somebody who did something I didn't, who experienced something I didn't, but I believe them. That's okay, I mean, but it's a qualification on knowing, isn't it? It's a little bit distance from knowing. It's like somebody who can tell you all the ingredients in molecular structure and the nature of honey, but they've never tasted it. They've done all kinds of experiments. They got machines that can tell you how much the quantity of sugar is in honey. But they never tasted it themselves. Do they really know honey if they haven't experienced it? I don't know. or know a little bit about it. Maybe you know something about it, but you can't. So they know everything it is to know about honey until they've actually applied the sense of taste to it, as well as sight or smell or whatever. However, we'll say we know. But when we get through here tonight, you might want to qualify that. Because it ain't what you know. It's what you don't know. That's the problem. And so, hang in here tonight, guys. All right? And I ain't going to play with your mind, but is this going to make you think? And maybe we should. About what we know and what we don't know. What we can count on that we know. Reality. And what we can't truly count on. Illusion. And knowing the difference. There is a difference. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for logging in. And attending our little presentation here on knowing, I guess is what it is, knowing. You said you know. I'm going to ask you how you know. If I don't take your word for it, I need to know how you know that. Don't tell me somebody told you. Well, you can tell me somebody told you, and you should, if that's where you got that information. That you're now saying you know, as though you experienced it. But if we got the criteria already set, guys, if we can agree that the criteria for knowing things, how do you know, translates into I saw it, smelled it, tasted it, touched it. I put one of my senses to it. That's how I know. One of my senses detected it. That's how I know. If that's the criteria, if we can start from there, if we can agree that that's how you truly know anything from experience, then everything else you know. I mean, don't we truly have to qualify that a bit? Don't we have to have a little caveat there when we make that statement? You know what I mean? Because what we're going to talk about tonight is going to challenge something. That's something going to be what you think you know that's real in your world and what you just believe exists and how you build your lives around those beliefs. I guess you do. But here we go. Here we go, guys. All right. So, and this whole concept of what do you know, knowledge, cognizance, cognition, recognition. This whole term about being cognizant, being conscious of, aware of the world around you. Let me ask you what you know about this world around you. Or what is it that you just believe? That if you looked a little bit closer, you might find that that belief may be true or may not. But you haven't experienced it. But you go about your life every day as though you're fully aware that this is a fact. Now, I'm going to start with a little example. And I want you to try to picture this little example. But it affects you just like it did me all my life. I was teaching a class. You know, I teach guys. I teach computer classes and also teach a Spanish language class. So I'm teaching some kids, and I have and somehow in that conversation, I happen to mention that there's no such thing as sunset and sunrise. Now these kids were surprised to hear me say that. And when I saw the look on their face, I tried to clarify. I mean, I said, y'all, the sun doesn't go up and come down. They've been told this all their life. I understand. I understood. Not only had they been told that if they walked out the door and stood there for 24 hours, they would see the sun rise in the east and set in the west. So what the hell am I talking about? They know that the sun rises. In fact, I heard the weatherman say it the other day. So every time they turn the TV, they're told that the sun rose and the sun set. So I know why they look like that. So I didn't blame them for that, guys. It ain't their fault. They've been told and sold on purpose or by ignorance, out of ignorance. I don't know which one, but the result is the same. They've been told a lie for so long that they believe it, and they adjust their world accordingly. Yes, they do. These kids, I got them excited about some things about astronomy in this conversation. Because I told them they was, you know, well, we'll get there. Anyway, so in this explanation, I had to stop the Spanish class just a moment to deal with that issue. I could have let it slide. I mean, y'all let it slide every day, don't you? You let your kids say sunrise and sunset. You let the weatherman tell you sunrise and sunset. Well, you got used to that. You got so used to it that I believe some of y'all listening to me tonight believe that the sun rises on its own in the morning and goes down at night. And it ain't your fault. It ain't your fault. That's what you believe. That's what you would tell somebody. You would repeat those words to somebody. You'll say, I'll see you at sunrise, or I'll see you at sunset, or the sun came up this morning at 6 o'clock. The sun goes down tonight at 7 o'clock. Kids hear that all day. TV says it all day. You say it. And you think you know that to the point where you live your life like that. And it does affect your life. We'll get into that. But you and I should know, but we don't, because our experience tells us that if we stand out there for 24 hours, we will see what appears to be the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, and that appearance is what we consider to be real. That's happening. And we can show it to you. We can point it to you. We can watch it happen. But there are those of us who've done the work that we believe, who have established for us that the sun doesn't go. The sun has its own movement, but day and night are not affected by anything the sun is doing. The sun ain't going up and down, guys, right? So, but these kids didn't know that. And these were high school kids. All of their life, they've got up every morning and went to bed every night with the sun moving around in top of, in the sky. You know, like some primitive tribe that believe the sun travels across the sky each day and dies in the west at night. You know that 24 hours, every 24 hours, this earth you're standing on right now, you, I'll just say you, but because you turn when the earth turns, you're on it. We turn away from the sun every 24 hours, turn away and back every 24 hours. Sun didn't go anywhere. The sun's been right where it was when we left. It's the rotation of the earth to the left, by the way, that causes day and night. We turn our back on the sun every day, every 24 hours, and we come back. In the 24-hour period, we return to where we were, and the sun is still where we left it. It didn't go anywhere. Now this was great for me when I was talking to these young kids, because their eyes started to get interested in stars and the earth and astronomy and all that good stuff, because they hadn't heard this in high school. Maybe they had, I don't know, but when they got home and turned on the weather, they heard the weatherman said sunrise and sunset. When they heard their parents talking, they said, I got to get up in the morning when the sun comes up. And y'all got to go to bed when the sun go down. So maybe they got it in school, but they've been reinforced when they got out to say, oh, no, just the opposite. Why would you teach them just the opposite? I don't know. But you believe, and you'll go around telling people that there's something called a sunrise and a sunset that speaks to the sun moving up and across and down out of the sky every day. It applies to some action on behalf of the sun, and in which it's only an action on behalf of this earth that causes day and night. And the kids say, we turning? You mean we're turning? I said, yeah, you're turning. You're turning. The earth you're standing on is turning. This fascinated them. I was surprised because they thought they had a down pack. They thought morning and evening is just another day. They didn't pay any attention to it. They understood what went on. The sun came up, the sun went down. It wasn't interesting to them. They see it every day. But you should have saw the interest and the questions that came up when they found out they were turning away from the sun every day. I can't feel myself turning, they would say. They would say, I love this session. Because it got them interested, man. It really got them interested in the earth they walk around on every day. And the sky they look up at, and the sun that shines on them and gives them light and warmth and food every day. And so we think we know, don't we? We've been told some stuff and sold some stuff, and we fashion our lives around it. Day and night boring when you think you know how it all works and the sun goes up and sun goes down, no big deal. It became exciting to these kids to know that they were standing on an earth that was spinning to the left. And in 24 hours, it turns all the way around and back again. And they was wondering, why come I can't feel that if we turn it and all that? So this was a great opportunity, man. And so, but they didn't know. They didn't know. And in terms of experience, I didn't know. I had to believe those people who say they know. And I asked them, how y'all know? They said, well, when you get up off the earth, you can see it going down. So a satellite that's been launched or something that comes up off the earth, a spaceship or a device that satellite. Let's go with a satellite, or more like a Cassini. Yeah, the Cassini probe they send out into space, or the Hubble telescope is a good example. These things use electricity. They get their electricity while they're in space from solar panels. Their solar panels pick up, as they imply, sunlight, solar radiation. The Hubble telescope never experienced a sundown or sunup. Interesting enough, you have to be on Earth to do that. to see day and night, to experience day and night. And so with that obvious situation being explained so clearly, I have to agree that even though I can't experience the sun being up 24/7, I realize that it must be that it must be true, as that since that the Hubble telescope never experienced day and night, sun didn't go anywhere. But if you're on Earth, it goes day and night. What's going on? You're turning away from the sun every 24 hours to the left. Anyway, so I went on to blow their mind about how fast the Earth is turning. They didn't even know they were turning, let alone how, the speed at which it takes. And that was a great session. Very informative. And so, did you know that? If you did, how did you know? But if you didn't, I can't blame you. It ain't your fault. Your weatherman told you the sun would set today and it will rise in the morning. And he should know better. He's a meteorologist. He's supposed to be some kind of a scientist. And he knows if he continues to use the word rise and set for the sun, in our heads and people's minds, we're thinking of a motion and action that the sun is doing. I wanted to give that just as a little bit of example of what you think you know, what is reality, and what really isn't. Is this something you've grown to believe? If you live through this world, if you determine what you know, if you determine reality by the definition we laid out, by the things you experience, see, smell, taste, and touch, oh, I know because I saw it, I know because I felt it, I know because I smelled it, then it's going to be interesting, guys, because you live in a very tiny world that has been manipulated, your beliefs, since the day you were born. How you look at this world is nothing like what it is. And I prove that to you when I get back. And you hang in there if you think you know what reality looks like. And we're going to talk about it. I'll be back. Okay, and we're back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary, and we're talking tonight. We're taking a revolutionary look, a real revolutionary look, at your reality, at what you claim you know. And Lord have mercy, what you don't know is vast in comparison. And let me tell you what I mean, guys. An old man who hunts a lot with his dogs. It's a little story, quick story. Him and his dogs go out hunting, been going out hunting for years. And he told me his dogs, he told me, Gary, you know, he said, my dogs have figured out that they can smell. They can pick up scents better than I can, far better than I can. My dogs must have figured out now that they can see and hear better than I can, far better than I can. He said, so now I know why they're so happy every time I come home. They think I'm retarded. They don't know how I make it home alive every day. So they just jump all over me every day I come home. So he's right. The dog's sense of smell, sense of hearing is greater than yours. What he just said to me was of all the things that's possible to hear, his dog can pick up more of them than he can. So he misses out on some sounds. But I guarantee you that we just got to establish a preliminary agreement that what you know is based on what you sense, what you experience, what your senses detect. I heard it, I seen it, I smelled it. We're talking nose, eye, we're talking sensory organs and what they picked up. And when I ask you how you know, that's what you tell me. Unless you tell me you read it, you believe it to be true. Then you're telling me you experienced it is how you know. Well, if you experience things through those senses of yours, if you identify reality, what exists and doesn't exist on this earth, with those eyes, nose, and mouth, with those sensory organs you have. If that's how you tell how you know something, listen to this. Of all the colors available in this light from the sun, of all of the colors available on that spectrum of light that comes from the sun, there is a small slit, about 1% on that scale, referred to as visible light. Wonder why they call it that. Of all the colors on that scale, there's a set of colors called visible light. Right? So when I said light, and when I say colors, I know these words used to obscure your understanding of what's going on. I'm sorry about that. That ain't your fault. It's not light. It doesn't mean anything. It's electromagnetic waves. It's waves of materials that are both electric in their nature and magnetic at the same time. And them waves, that electricity and magnetism coming from what you call light, what you've been told to call light, which was not anything to you about what's shining on you, that electricity and electromagnetic waves that are hitting you are hitting you at varying beats, varying rhythms, varying vibrations, varying frequencies and lengths. And you call those colors. They told you to call them colors, but that's not what they are. They're electromagnetic waves. And each electromagnetic wave moves differently. Some of them move fast, some move slow. Some have a long wavelength, some have a short wavelength. They all waves, but I guess, but they all have a certain beat. Let's call it a rhythm, a beat. A frequency, a vibration. And you call them colors, but that's okay. I just want you to know that colors doesn't explain what's happening to you or what's going on. So excuse me if I take the covers off some of these words so you can see what's happening to you every day. This is like this electricity, light has all these colors. And so on the light spectrum of colors, there's a thin line, 1% of that spectrum that you'll see a thin line indicating this within this little thin line on the scale, this 1% of this 100% of this of the scale of colors, there's a group of colors referred to as visible light. Why do they call it that? They call it that because that's all you can see. Hello? Of 100% of the light, of the colors, of the electromagnetic spectrum, you can pick up with your eyes 1%. Oh, yeah, you can see colors. You can see vibrations. From the sun, you can see those electromagnetic waves and their different vibrations all the way up to the, they become red. And when light is no longer red, when light reaches infrared, or what's called infrared, you can't see it. That's an aid of some kind. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can see all the way down the light spectrum, all the way to violet. But when the light becomes ultraviolet, you can't see it. It ain't that. It ain't that it ain't there, baby. And when I get through, you're going to realize there's a whole lot of things that are there that you can't detect. It's their presence. Their presence. Because of the limited world you live in that you think you know. Well, 1% of that scale is called visible light because 1% of that scale is what human beings like me and you are capable of detecting with our eye visually. So we can see violet, but we can't see ultraviolet or anything beyond that, to tell the truth. We can see down to red, but once it gets infrared and beyond, forget about it. See, it could be standing right next to you in that color, and you wouldn't know it was standing there. It'd be blind to it. Even though it exists, you can't see it. You can't detect its presence visually. Now, that's human beings. That's me and you. But let me tell you something, guys. A hawk, a flying in the sky, a hawk, a bird, a giant bird, a hawk, can see more than you. A hawk can see violet, but he also can see ultraviolet. You can't. He can see light you can colors that you can't even imagine. Check this out. A hawk flying a mile up in the sky flies over a wheat field that's been cut down. And running across that little wheat field is a mouse down there, 100 miles down, running around in that field. And he'd love to catch that mouse. That mouse happens to stop and take a leak. Well, when the light hits urine from the mouse, it reflects ultraviolet light. And the mouse might as well had a magic marker tied to him, trailing everywhere he went and stopped to take a leak. The hawk can see in the ultraviolet spectrum. He follows that trail, and when you look up and see that hawk come from a mile up and come back up with a mouse, you go, wow, that hawk got good eyesight. Yeah, he sure does. Because he can see in a light spectrum, you can't. So it ain't that those lights ain't out there, them colors ain't out there. It's just that you live visually. You see 1% of what's available to be seen on this earth, in this world. You live in that box, that limitation. And you think you know what's going on. Every sense on your body has this limitation. You ever go get your ears checked? Well, when they put earphones on you, and then the technician begins to turn up a tone. He has a knob that goes from zero to whatever, and he's turning that knob and turning that knob, and he asks you, when you hear a tone in your right ear, I want you to touch the earphones on the right. When you hear a tone in your left ear, touch the ear tones on your left. So he's testing your level of hearing. And so he begins to turn up the tone, the sound. And at some point, you raise your right hand for your right ear. At some point, you raise your left hand for your left ear. At some point. Why do I say that? Because that technician started turning that knob from zero. Not the volume. Started making that sound at a certain pitch at zero. It wasn't until he got to a certain other pitch farther down the road till you raise your hand. You didn't hear it, even though it was making a sound all the way as he turned that knob. There was a certain point when you said, okay, I hear that. But it was making a sound before you heard it. And so he gathers the limit of your hearing that way, your limitations of what you can hear. It's just like the limitations of what you can see. It's minuscule compared to what's to be heard out there. It can be talking to you in that pitch, and you wouldn't hear it. I gave you the example a minute ago of this of the guy who does the hunting. Well, if he takes his dog whistle and blows it, you won't hear it. I'm sorry. It ain't your fault. But there's a world of sights and sounds, not just a dog whistle. The dog heard it because it exists. It's real. It makes a noise. But a noise you can't hear. You live in a box created by the limitations of the tools you use to declare knowledge. Oh, I know because I heard it. I know because I saw it. That's how you say you know. But there's so much you ain't heard, and there's so much you ain't seen, you better take a seat for a minute before you think you know what's going on. How you know is the next question when you tell me, and I want to know, you know something. How you know that? When your sense of touch, taste, smell, hearing, seeing is how you determine reality. And I just told you, you see 1% of what's available to be seen around you right now. You hear less than 1% of what's to be heard. Your sense of smell, touch, there are things touching you right now that you don't even know. You have no idea because you have a limit on your sense of touch, and it's touching you outside of those limits, but it's touching you just the same. It ain't what you know, it's what you don't know. That's vast. Vast. I'm just saying. The next time you say, I see that, or the next time you say, I don't see that, it's, maybe you should qualify that. Just say it might be there, but it's beyond my ability to detect. If I said, do you smell that? I don't smell nothing. It might mean it's beyond your ability to detect, and it may be more accurate to say that. Because my dog would have smelled it. My dog would have heard it. So it does exist. And because you didn't, don't mean it didn't happen. It's not there. Forget about that. What you decide that exists or not exists is totally arbitrary. Totally relevant to a little box you live in. And on the light spectrum, that box is 1%. A small line on that spectrum is referred to as visible light. That's all you can see of what's available to be seen on this earth. If you carry that knowledge around with you, you will qualify what you think is reality. You have a caveat. You'll say something like, to the best of my ability, to the extent of my senses, I don't believe that exists. Don't say, no, that ain't there. If it was there, I would have saw it. If it was there, I would have heard it. Or somebody might say, there's someone here for you. There's someone standing next to you. Check that out. You ever got that guy? And you don't see nobody. You don't smell, taste, or touch anyone, feel anyone. So you declare it doesn't exist. There's nobody there. You know, but there could very well be, given the limitations you have, good gracious, there could be a bunch of folks standing around next to you. There could be a bunch of people, places, and things going on that you just have no idea is going on. Because you live in that limitation and box I just gave you of sights and sounds, and you test your knowledge and you say what's real and what ain't real just based on what's in that box that fits into your abilities. It ain't your fault that you don't see the whole picture. How do you know anything? I was told that your mind, that your body is just like a computer. And some of us live that way. It's hard for us to believe something exists that we can't see, smell, taste, or touch. Hard to convince us about things like that. Some folks say these things exist, but some of us say you can't prove it. I can't see it, touch it, taste it. Next time, qualify that within the limit of my ability to sense. I can't detect it. I ain't saying it ain't there. Before I tell you it doesn't exist, I'm going to qualify my statement. When you know your limitations, you watch out about what you claim, you know, because your mind works just like a little computer. All this electrical impulses to your brain of what you see, hear, smell, and taste. And if those electrical impulses are telling you this is what you see, this is what you might as well be wearing VR glasses, virtual reality glasses. Because somebody can show you and tell you something that may not be reality. Because they can manipulate what you hear, see, and maybe even smell and taste. They haven't got, VR glasses haven't got that good yet. But you've seen people wearing those glasses. And they ignore the real world around them. They'll knock things off the table responding to something they see in those virtual reality glasses. Because their visual and audio signals are telling them that they're in a fight with a space creature or whatever that's going on in those glasses. But they're physically acting, gesticulating left and right and moving in their chair as though something in reality is going on. So, and a lot of us live like that, I guess. We live in our heads. We live in our thoughts. Past and future. That's all mental. And we don't pay attention to the world around us. Because our mind works like a computer. It's AI. It's not AI. It's OI. It's organic intelligence as opposed to artificial intelligence. We're going to talk about that computer relationship to your mind. And you're going to have to tell me if your brain works like a computer. Who's running the mouse and the keyboard? I'll be right back. You tell me.
Awesome.
Right. We back, guys. I've been told that we were living in a matrix. I was told that we were living in a simulation. I was told that all of this, that we were living in a hologram. I've had these conversations about reality and what's real and what's not. I recognize my limitations and my ability to detect all of reality. And I hope you have too, when you understand the limitation of those things you use to detect reality, i.e. your senses. That's why I get into these conversations, because I realize my limitations. Before I say something doesn't exist, I have to qualify that now. Because I know my ability to detect things that exist is limited. There's only so much I can even see. There are animals crawling around and flying around that can see more colors and things than, and certain colors than I can. Vibrations of light. Who can hear distances I cannot. Who can hear pitches and tones that I cannot. I know there are sensations that I will never feel, things I will never see, smell, taste, or touch that exist around me right now, and you too, every day. But because of our limitations, we walk past them like they're not there. And we will declare there's nothing there. I will too, but I add a caveat. There's nothing there as far as my ability to detect the presence of something exists. But I know I can't detect the presence of everything. In fact, visually, I only see 1% of 100% of what there is to see. Ain't that something? And so do we live in a matrix? If somebody else controlling what we see, hear, smell, and taste, how can that be? That's out of this, that's beyond the pale, isn't it? That's kind of out there. But when I got the explanation that my computer and me behave in a very similar manner, we rely on a very similar process, then I had to think about that twice, about this simulation. Are we really living in a computer-generated matrix, giant computer somewhere, telling us what to see, smell, taste, and touch? That sounds far out. I mean, I saw it in the Matrix. I saw it in the movie Matrix, where they had everybody hooked up to wires, and people were having experiences that weren't real, kind of like wearing virtual reality glasses and responding to situations that was being fed to them. How is that possible? Well, because we're like computers. That's why it's possible. Everybody who knows me knows that before I end my show, I often talk about the work that I do and I teach. One of the classes I teach is a computer, an IT class. It's my major. And so that computer has a brain in the middle of it that once it's fired up electrically and you start typing on that keyboard and popping on that mouse, that brain will take you're sending electrical impulses. You're sending electricity to the brain of the computer with every keyboard stroke, with every mouse click, with every interaction with that computer. You're sending electricity and small impulses to the brain of the computer. And those small impulses, those electrical impulses, that electricity that you just shot off when you hit the letter J on a computer, or any letter on a computer, or any device, click the mouse, that electrical impulse you just shot off towards the brain when you did that, at tremendous speed, by the way, milliseconds, that electrical impulse is travels to your brain, to that brain, but that electrical impulse is in a certain shape. And I want you to think about that shape as dots and dashes, ons and offs, ones and zeros. So that electrical impulse is in a code, really, like Morse code, did, did, dot, dot, dash, dash. And so long electrical impulses, short electrical impulses, no electrical impulse. Ones and zeros, ons and offs. Enough of those in certain arrangements, on, off, 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 on, be telling the computer to do different things. It's called coding. It's a code. You're literally writing, sending a code when you hit that computer. An electrically transmitted sets of dots and dashes in the forms of ones and zeros in the forms of electrical dits and dots, electrical energy, electricity. So when you hit that letter on that keyboard, a certain arrangement of electrical impulses head out towards that computer's brain. That computer's brain get that message, read it, and say, okay, if it's three dots and two dashes, if it's on three times and off four times, that means I do this. That means I make the computer. I send that electrical impulse to a certain part of the computer that will make it do X. Now, let's say, for instance, you want to watch a video Well, the main board in your computer, the motherboard, it's called the motherboard, the main board in your computer has a special card, a special place, a special section, a center set aside for video. It's a video card, they call it. You plug that card down into your motherboard in your computer. Just about every computer's got one, right? It has to have one to give you video. You got your monitor sitting there. You're watching your monitor, and you're waiting for a picture to come up. Well, that picture's going to come from that video card. But that video card is not going to send you anything until it gets some information. So your brain, when you tell the computer to play a video, you send an electrical impulse to the brain of the computer, the central processing unit. It is central in the processing of your demands on it. So if you say play, you hit play on a video, that demand in the terms of electricity, electrical impulses arranged in a certain code, goes straight to that computer. Dit, dit, dot, dot, dit, 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 on, off, and the computer says, oh, I recognize that, and it sends it. Of all the components in your computer, your brain sends it over to that center, that video center, and it hits that video card, and your video card knows how to handle that message. It sends it straight to your monitor, and bam, you see something on your screen. I don't care what you think you see on your screen. The computer hasn't seen anything. The computer has only dealt with electrical impulses that gave you something you call vision, a visual image. But the computer doesn't even know what that image looks like. Because to it, it looks like electricity coming in dots and dashes. And you can arrange those dots and dashes such that they're like Morse code. They're like a code. And if the computer's program understands that coding, it can interpret that code into the electricity needed, the impulse needed to make your monitor show you a picture, colors, a picture, a video. There's another section that handles audio in your computer. So when you speak into the speaker, or you tell it to play to your speakers, and when you speak into a mic, or you tell it to send something to your speakers, it doesn't go anywhere. It goes straight to your central, the brain, the central processing unit, abbreviated CPU. It goes to your CPU. And that central processing unit, that brain in the computer, will send it over, not to the video card, because that section is only for video, visual. It will send it to the audio card. That's another audio section in your computer, where when those messages get to that section, that electrical impulses in that code gets to your audio section. Your audio section knows how to take that electricity in its particular arrangement, dit, dit, dot, dot, on, off, and give you sound, digital sound. They call it digital because the actual sound has been turned into ones, numbers, digits, only two, one and zero. And you can have 110 or 100, and the computer says, oh, those two things mean something to them, to it. That two things sends out an electrical impulse that will cause the computer to do something. If it understands the code that you're sending it. And so you get audio. But there's an audio section where all that goes down. And there's a video section in your computer where all that goes down, your video card. Your brain, your and my brain, functions the exact same way. Off of electricity, our bodies, off of electricity, when we touch something, let's say we see something or we touch something, an electrical impulse moves through our nerves, its system, up our spine to our central nervous system, to our brain. And when it gets there, the brain's pretty big. There's a lot of stuff going on up there. But when it gets there, if it's a sight that you've seen, it caught your eye, that electrical impulse rolls down your optical nerve to your brain and goes directly to a special place, a card set aside for visual, your video card. It's called your visual cortex. And when those electrical impulses hit your visual cortex, guess what? You see something. If it doesn't, you don't. So the things outside of your ability to see, they don't send electrical impulses to your video card. Or if they do, your video card can't read them, so you don't see them. A hawk, a bird, certain birds can see in spectrums you can't, because their video card picks up that color. Yours doesn't. You got 4K, they got 8K. And so that a computer and you got the same process. You got an area set up for audio. So when you hear a sound, your ear with that little drum in it beats out an electrical impulse that goes to your brain. And when it gets up there, it don't just go anywhere. It goes to a center of audio center called your audio cortex as opposed to your visual cortex. And at the audio center, the audio center knows how to deal with that signal coming, that electricity coming from your brain, those impulses coming from your brain, that code coming from your brain. And it begins to allow you to do what you call hearing something. Now, as I said, your hearing has limitations. So if a dog whistle goes off, even if the sound went in your ear, it's a big hole in your ear, so it's not going to stop sound from going in. But for some reason or another, your audio system won't pick up that sound. It won't excite electrical impulses in your ear, in your brain, at the audio center. You work like a computer off electricity and off electrical impulses. So when the guy told me you live in a simulation, man, said, man, a computer, a big giant computer controls everything you see and hear. This whole reality that you think you live in is a matrix, a big computer matrix. And you think you smell, you think you're eating a steak because you can smell it, taste it, and touch it. And that's the way you tell what reality is. And they know that. So if they can control what you smell, taste, and touch, they can make you believe, see anything and live by it. Now, and so I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now, in the movie Matrix, I actually picked up on a picture of one of the scenes where this guy, Neo, breaks, is naked in this pod of goo. And he breaks out of this pod, right? And you can see up and down his spinal cord, his backbone. All those nerves go up to your brain. You can see that there were wires all the way up his spine, all the way to the back of his head. There was wires connected to him, plugged into him. And he had to break them plugs from him. And when he did, he saw reality for what it was. But until he did, he saw the matrix, what the computer generated. Why was that? Because somebody, like somebody had intervened, intercepted and intervened in his senses and those electrical impulses of his. that he was born with. And with them wires hooked up to his spine was sending him new electrical impulses to his brain. His brain doesn't know. All his brain knew is it came from the spine like all the other electrical impulses. Central spinal cord like all the other electrical impulses. The central nervous system, which runs up the spinal cord, like all them other impulses, they're all electric. They're all in a cold. And so with all them wires up his spine, perhaps his body's own electrical impulses was not reaching his brain. Perhaps the electrical impulses that were reaching his brain in those visual centers, in those audio centers, in your smell center, in your taste center, your brain got all these cards in it, audio card, video card, olfactory, smelling card, taste bud card. All those sensors got their own card, and your central nervous system directs electricity, electrical impulses coming from your nose, mouth, and ears to the center they belong to, and you smell something, taste something. That's how you say, I know, because I saw it. Yeah, you saw it. Well, what is that electrical impulse that allows you to see, that hits your visual cortex and allows you to see? Did it come from you? Well, in the matrix, it was coming from them wires up his central nervous system. It was coming from them wires up his spine, his backbone, that had been inserted to intervene and intercept his own electricity, electrical impulses coming from his body's sensory organs. And they were sending their own signals, boom, 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 to his brain. And so for all this guy knew, what he saw was what they told him to see. What those electrical impulses said he saw. What he smelled, tasted, and touched was what those electrical impulses told him he smelled, tasted, and touched. His own body's electrical impulses were never reaching his brain. His brain was receiving them from somewhere else. And guess what? That was his reality. You could not tell him that the real world, what was real, wasn't what he was seeing, hearing, and smelling on his own. Because just like you, he'd say he knows something. And when you ask him how he knows it, he refers to his senses. Oh, I saw it. I smelled it, tasted it, touched it. He referred back to his senses. But I just told you, they're just electrical impulses, just like the ones that brings you video and audio and commands on your computer. Where those electrical impulses, if I wanted to take over your computer, I could send electrical, if I was one of those hacker guys, I could send electrical impulses, electricity down the wires or over the air, whatever. It's all electricity. I could send electrical impulses in a code to your computer and make it do things while you stand there and watch it. You won't even be touching your computer, your keyboard, your mouse, the things you use to make your computer do things. I will be using in another country somewhere, making your computer do things. Because your computer is not going to ask where it came from. If it can get inside, if it can intervene, it will respond to electricity and electrical impulses, no matter where they came from. I mean, you need to have all kind of firewalls and virus equipment to stop that from happening. That's what hacking is. Well, the folks were telling me, you've been hacked, brother. We all been hacked. Our computers, we're just like a computer, right? Electrical impulses. Well, we all been hijacked and hacked. And we're living in a computer-generated simulation, just like in the Matrix. Anyway, that might be true. It might not be true, but hey, given my limitations, given what I given when I say I know something and how I know. I had to rethink this situation just a little bit, and I hope you do too. Before you say you know, it's what you don't know, man. What you don't know is that the electrical impulses that goes to your visual cortex, your audio cortex, are supposed to come from things you see, taste, and touch. And it's supposed to travel up your spine and down your optical nerves to your brain so that you can see them, taste them, and touch them. Electricity, electrical impulses, code, ones and zeros, ons and offs, switches on and off, ones and zeros, Morse code, dot, dots. If I know the code, and I can intervene between your spine and your brain and send my own electrical signal. Guys, I thought this stuff was far out, man. And then I heard Elon Musk, the guy that's coming up with the Tesla car and the SpaceX rocket, demonstrating a chip that he's proposing to put in your head behind your ear. Supposed to help you remember things and think better or something like that. Anyone else see that? Elon Musk, the Tesla guy, is coming up with a chip. And I saw it. It's on a video, guys. It's on YouTube. Look it up. And it goes right behind your ear, under your skin. And it's supposed to be this great benefit to your intelligence and that kind of thing. But that central processing unit has the ability to direct and redirect the electricity coming to your brain from your nervous system. And if it has the ability to emit electrical signals to the centers of your brain while it's up there, you will see what it tells you to see. You will smell what it tells you you smell. You will hear what it tells you you hear. You will feel what it tells you would feel. You could taste what it tells you you taste it. How would you know the difference? Just electrical impulses. They're just written in codes. And if you know the code, baby, you can crack the computer. The human one, just like the mechanical one. So I find it hard to argue with these guys who told me I was living in a simulation, I was living in a matrix, I was living in a computer-generated world, that everything I think is real, everything I feel, smell, taste, and touch, which is how I determine reality, don't you? I saw it, I smelled it, I tasted it, I experienced it. So if that's how I determine reality, then I could be in the matrix. We could be in the matrix. We could be in a simulated world, computer simulated game, world. You know, they got those computer games where you can build your own civilizations. Could be in a matrix. I didn't know how likely that was until I know we act just like computers. We have centers in our brain, like video cards and audio cards, certain places that handles electrical impulses, just like a computer. I start to question what I know. But how about you? That's my rant tonight. Careful about what you think you know. They said the beginning of wisdom is to admit you don't know. I'm going to leave the rest of this time for our call-in section. When I come back, I'll give our call-in number. Guys, I'm going to open up my chat room. And people who have comments and that kind of thing, you can leave them in the chat. If you'd like to come online, You're welcome to come online. I got a phone number for you. And when you come online, remember you're coming straight on the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everyone will hear my response. I'll be right back. Elon Musk calls his new brain chip the NutriLink. Look it up, guys. The NutriLink. It goes above the spine, behind the ear, above the spine and the back of the head. Right where all those electrical impulses from touch, sight, and sound all come together, come up to the brain before they're distributed to their individual centers. Visual cortex, audio cortex, so you see and hear, so you're able to see, hear, smell, and taste, and touch things, and experience sight and sound. You don't experience sight and sound until the electricity you get from your finger when you touch something. They say it moves about 200 miles an hour. From the time you touch something to that electrical impulse hits the touch center of your brain, that card in your brain for touching, it moves at 200 miles an hour from touch to brain, up the spinal cord. That's fast. And then you say, oh, I felt something. You'll say, oh, I felt something. But you felt something about a split second ago. It just got to your brain about a split second later. And now you feel it. But if it don't reach that cortex in your brain, you don't even know it exists. It's invisible to you. If it's outside of your eyes' ability, your sensory organs' ability to detect it. So it's coming right at you, baby. You just can't see it. This chip behind the back of the head is curious to me because it's right there where all those senses come in at. And if this chip can intervene and intercept my body's electrical impulses rushing to my brain at 200 miles an hour to tell me what I see, smell, and taste, and it can emit its own electrical impulses to tell me what I'm seeing, smelling, and tasting, I guess I'll say, I know I see that. I don't believe I see it. I know I see it. I know I smell it. I know I taste it. I know it's real because I saw it. Because the electrical impulse that went to my visual cortex said that I saw that. That's what I'm looking at. Except that electrical impulse didn't come from my eyes. Somebody intercepted that electrical impulse with a chip, and the chip sent a different electrical, it's just electricity, it's just computers, guys, it's just code. It's just dots and dashes. If you know the code, you can make me see, smell, taste, feel anything you want. All you need is the code and access. It's hard to get access outside the brain. It's hard to catch that 200 mile an hour sense of touch, electrical impulse shooting through your nerves at 200 miles an hour going to your brain center, your touch center in your brain, so that you can actually feel something that you touch. Other than that, you don't feel it. You're numb to it. So when you say, I feel something, that means the electrical impulse has made it. From the time you touched it, it finally hit that touch center in your brain, and now you feel what it is you're touching. That electrical impulse made it to your brain center uninterrupted. Well, what if it got interrupted? What if something stopped it? Or rearranged it and then sent it on in milliseconds to your visual cortex, then you would see whatever that chip's message was, because it'll look just like, it's electricity, so it'll look just like the electrical impulses your body would send. Well, in fact, it will be no different. And your visual cortex will not make a difference. It'll tell you this is what you see, period, end of story. And this is what you don't. This is what you just felt. Your body will tell you for sure that's what you just felt. And you'll say, I know. And I'll say, how you know? Oh, I saw it. I smelled it. I tasted it. I touched it. That's how I know. And you tell me that's how you know things? Did I just tell you that your sense of works by electricity and electrical impulses? and you don't sense anything until the electrical impulse travels through your nervous system up your spine to a center in your brain specializing in that particular sense. Your visual cortex handles the things you see. If it don't see them, you don't see them. And it sees by electrical impulse sent to it from your eyes. Your optical nerve carries it to the brain. If I intervened and took that electrical impulse and absorbed it and shot off the second one, or rearranged the yours and shot it off, and it hit the center that handles vision, you'd see what I told you to see, wouldn't you? I want to thank you guys for listening in tonight. We got a few more minutes left on our call-in section. We also have a chat room open. If you got questions or comments, this is your time to shine, baby. Careful what you think you know. What you call reality, what you say exists and don't exist. Be careful. Out there who know more about your brain than you do. You know that. Come on now. Welcome to Revolutionary Life, guys. Tonight we've been talking about how we know anything and can we trust what we think exists and doesn't. Can we really trust what we see, think? I told you that our minds, our bodies work like a computer that simply carries nothing more than electrical impulses from our sensory organs to our certain centers in our brain. Computer's CPU, central processing unit, does the same thing our central nervous system does. It sends electrical impulses to certain areas. Our video card is called a visual cortex. When electricity is sent to it in a certain format, dits and dots and dashes, it can read that. And it delivers to you something you call vision. Can that be messed with? I don't know. The Matrix was all about that being played with, intervened and intercepted into. But if it's just electricity, if it's just code, can you be hacked? So, revolutionaries, in a world, in an environment like this, we qualify what we think we know. That's all. We don't get scared. We don't worry about it. We have no fear about it. We just qualify what we believe is reality. We don't demand what's real and what's not. We go look, listen, smell, and taste. You see, in the world, we're all part of this matrix, right? In the world of code and electrical impulses, the hacker can make you see anything he wants you to see, smell and taste anything you want to see and hear anything he wants you to hear on your computer, which only handles audio and visual at this time. Well, interfering with your electrical impulses of your sight centers in your brain and your audio center in your brain can make you see and hear anything someone who's able to do that wants you to see and hear. Anything. And you will believe it because you told me that the way you know anything exists is you use those senses to do so, where those senses can be messed with. So doubt your reality sometimes. Our revolutionaries learn the code because far from making you a victim, knowing the code makes you the brain hacker. Hack your own brain. If you know the code and you got to pay attention, you got to get into your body, yourself, your these electrical impulses that are going on constantly, you call your senses, your smell, your taste, your touch. You got to come into the now. You got to be in the present to do that. You can't be in your head. They got control of, they can really mess with your brain. And people have been telling you what to think since you were a kid. So don't spend a whole lot of time in your head. Most people got virtual reality glasses on, what I call their thoughts. They live in their thoughts. And most of their thoughts are about the past and the future. Well, I got news for you. The past is gone. The future's not here. You're spending your time thinking about something that's gone and hasn't come. When right now, when the present moment is getting away from you. Well, that's what happens when you wear VR. You can knock the plant off the table inadvertently, because you're gesticulating and moving around based on something you see in the virtual reality glasses, not reality. You're tearing up the room in real life. And most of us are tearing up our lives in real life because we're walking around wearing virtual reality glasses and we believe that's the way the world looks. So we're tearing ourselves apart in ignorance of what's really going on around the real world. Going on around us. We have to go lose our mind. Did you hear me say that in the last session? It's so true. Sometimes you have to lose your mind to come to your senses. Come out of your head. Get in touch with your senses. Make sure they're yours. Get in touch with your senses. Understand how they work. And you become the hacker. You set up virus, you set up firewalls for bull BS information. You set up an antivirus program. If you know the code, you can make your world what you want it to be. How about that? If you know the code, you can see, smell, taste, and touch the things you love to smell, taste, and touch. If you know the code, you too can change your reality. My revolutionaries are empowered by this information. They're not scared. It's because they pay attention to their senses. They're practicing awareness, which means being in the present moment means you dealing with what you see, smell, taste, and touch right now. Not the past, not the future, which is what your thoughts and all that mental stuff is about. Come out of your head every now and then. I think they've learned how to manipulate stuff up there. Come to your senses. Learn how they work. Agree that that's how you determine reality. And then change your reality to the one you like. Change your reality to whatever you like it to be. Thank you all for listening in to Revolutionary Life tonight, where we deal with many subjects that affect our life every day, but we deal with them from a revolutionary point of view. We don't peddle fear and victimization. We speak about empowerment here. And you lack some information to be able to take power. Well, I hope you get some here. To make change, to make revolution, that's what revolution is, man. To make revolutionary change. You got to have a handle on what's going on. To stay on the pulse of the change that's going to happen anyway. Everybody says that there's one thing constant in this world is change. Things change from one second to the next, even if it's minute changes. Don't ever look at the world like it's the same way. I told those kids in my Spanish class when we got to talking about the sun going up and down, and I was able to convince them that that's not true. The sun is not going up and down every day. You're turning. The earth's turning, and you on it every 24 hours. And I made them calculate how fast the earth might be turning for it to make a full turn in 24 hours. They didn't know. I said, well, at the earth's center, it's about 24,000 miles at its center. So how long would that take? And they said 24 hours. I was so proud of them. But they were so excited about the world all of a sudden, because they knew better now. Some things open up for them. Thank you for listening in tonight. Catch me tomorrow night and every weekday night, 7 to 9. You want to know what my subjects are going to be? If you come over to my Facebook page, which is by the same name, Revolutionary Life, you can have some heads up there on what our presentations are going to be each night. If you missed this section, if you only caught parts of it, all of my presentations are recorded and on demand. You can always log into my site any day, any time, day or night, and review this and previous presentations. Just pick your subject. I probably hit on it somewhere down the line, guys. Thank you for listening in. I'm Gary. You've been listening to Revolutionary Life, where we look at every aspect of life from a revolutionary perspective. You guys have a great night, and I will see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Good night, and be careful what you know, because it's what you don't know that makes up the rest of the world. Thank you.
Thank you.